In the seventh week of our novena for Eucharistic revival, the Lord God says to us, "Learn to be still and know that I am God." In this reflection, we are given an opportunity to reflect upon what happens here at Mass. It is referred to historically as the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Not that we sacrifice Christ once again, but it is us entering into that one sacrifice made for us by Christ on the cross. Every time we come to Holy Mass, we behold once again that great reality, veiled to our eyes, unbeknownst to us according to our regular senses, but known by the gift of faith, that here we come to Calvary. We come to the place of the skull. We come to that place wherein Christ our God climbed upon a cross and made of himself the priest, the altar, and the lamb of sacrifice for love of us, to be able to lead us to himself, to bring us to the Father's house. This is the great joy that we enter into week after week after week in celebration of the Mass. Not a mere reenactment or a calling to mind of things, or even a time wherein we're, you know, specifically supposed to come and simply hear the word and be encouraged by the word. And this is part of it for sure. But it is primarily an act of worship that we come to give, at latria, the worship that is given to God, adoration rightly coming forth from our hearts. That adoration is primarily that of Christ. When we speak about the liturgy, when we speak about the Mass, it is Christ who acts here. It is Christ who is the primary actor in the sacred liturgy. We, as members of his body, whether lay or clergy, take part in that action, but it is Christ himself who is the primary actor in what takes place here. We simply come and join ourselves to him, to unite ourselves to him, to adore and to worship the one true God. Reflecting upon this great mystery, we see that our Lord, whenever he was on Mount Calvary, when he was there offering his life for us, for some 3 hours he remained on the cross, fixed by love and by nails. And during those 3 hours, he said his seven words, the seven phrases that are given and recounted during his blessed passion. But the vast majority of the time that our Lord was on the cross, he was in silence. And it's instructive for us the same. When we come to the sacred liturgy, much of it is meant to be a time of silence. Our blessed Lord indeed had a place for his words. He gave them, rightly so. But it was not the silence. The silence that he had was not simply an absence of something. It was a presence, a profound presence of intense prayer to the Father. Throughout his entire passion, he was continually offering himself for us, continually offering himself to the Father, continually pouring out his precious blood and allowing his life to be drained for love of us, that mercy might be shown to us, that we might be cleansed by that same precious blood pouring forth at that very moment, and that by his death, and that he knew there would be resurrection, and his ascension, we would be able to enter into heaven with him. This is what filled the mind and the heart of our blessed Lord during his passion. It was indeed a very active thing, not simply hanging there waiting for something to happen, but he continuously acting and interceding for us, our great high priest. And so the liturgy is for us the same. In the 40s and 50s, a phrase began to be used in the liturgy, in regards to the liturgy of the church, both in church documents as well as in writings about the liturgy, particularly the Holy Mass. And the phrase was actuosa participatio, actual participation, or as it's more often referred to in English, active participation. It was a recognition in the late 1800s, in the early 1900s, that a renewal was needed in the sacred liturgy. And the liturgical movement began. It was a group of individuals and priests and laymen both, who in the life of the church began to seek to have a renewal, a reform of the sacred liturgy. Not necessarily in the changing of the things that were taking place, not a changing of the books, but more so a changing of the hearts of those who attended. Because what they saw, what they understood, was that unfortunately too many people came to the Mass. Too many people took part in the liturgies of the church, the sacraments of the church, more as bystanders than as active participants. as ones who came to watch Father celebrate Mass. He went to go see Mass, sometimes would be a phrase that would be heard, to watch Mass, as if it were something as good as done on TV. As much as we might like to yell at the coaches and the people and the politicians on TV and hope that they can hear us, we know that they don't. In the sacred liturgy, we are active participants, where we are heard by the Lord to whom we speak. And we need not yell. Much of it can be in the quiet of our hearts. This participation that was sought was really the impetus in so much of the liturgical renewal of the Second Vatican Council. If you read the document Sacrosanctum Concilium on the document of the reform of the sacred liturgy of the Church, there's actually very little that was called to be changed. Most of it was, this may be done, this can be done. There were options that were being presented, but there was nothing in there that said we need a whole rewrite of the liturgy. The whole thrust of the document was really, we need to understand what we're doing here. We need to form the clergy to have a deep understanding of what it is that they do when they celebrate the sacraments so that they can be mindful of it and do it well. And then in doing it well, to explain that both by deeds as well as by words to the faithful, that the entire body of the church might be able to come and understand the sacred liturgy and enter into it, to understand what we do and why we do it. That things are not just because it's been done that way, but rather for some reason that we can enter in and pray with and offer ourselves to the Father with. This was the thrust of the Council's intent in the renewal of the liturgy, was that we might be able to enter into it and to actually participate or actively participate in the sacred liturgy. And this has, of course, two parts. Some of them, just like our Blessed Lord, as he hung upon the cross, are external things, active things. He did speak. And part of the active participation in the life of the Church of the liturgy is for us to say the things that need to be said, to sing the things that need to be sung, to do the gestures that are proper to us. Each of us has a role here. Whether clergy or lay, again, each of us has a place wherein the liturgy calls us to action. It calls us to make a response. It calls us in the liturgy, in the gestures, to strike the breast. It calls us to make the sign of the cross and the three small crosses of the gospel. At various times to stand or to sit or to kneel or to bow. These various postures that are given to us are ways in which we do actively, actually participate in liturgy. It is for us to understand why we do them, what they mean, and when we do them, to be praying them, to be actually praying these gestures, because that's the more important piece. Again, the greater work of our Blessed Lord as he hung upon the cross was his prayer that was being offered to the Father. His last words could have been taken or left, but it was his prayer that was necessary during that time. It was that offering to the Father, the gift of himself, together in union with us and on our behalf. And so it is for us to do the same here in the sacred liturgy. We have our words to say and our gestures to make, but the greater part is the orientations of our minds and in our hearts. When we come here, do we recognize where we are and what we're doing and who we're coming to worship? This is active participation. When we strike the breast at the confiteor, do we understand why we are doing it? The striking of the breast in the original sense from the Greek terms that are used in regards to it was a recognition that our hearts are hard like stone. We hear that over again and again and again throughout the Lenten season. And the striking of the breast was meant to be a breaking of the stony hearts, to break our hardened hearts, so the stone might fall away and they would be fresh hearts, fleshly hearts, living hearts. Are we aware whenever we strike the breast that we're simply there to repent of our sins and ask the Lord to give us a new heart? When we listen to the words of the scriptures, are we allowing them to sink into our hearts, into our minds, to impress themselves upon us, to really think about them, to hear them and to receive them. Specifically in the gospel, as we stand, are we attentive to the fact that the standing posture is for us to be willing to not only hear the word, but also to do something about it, to be challenged by the word of the Lord as he speaks to us, and to be willing to change our lives, to wrestle with that word, to hear the sermon that's being preached, the homily, and to be able to wrestle with these things too, as we pray in some manner, the mysteries of the faith, the mysteries of the liturgy, the mysteries of the scriptures are in some manner being broken up and presented to us. Are we attentive there? Whenever the offertory comes, do we give our hearts to Christ? Are we putting something more than ourselves, putting more than a bit of money in the collection basket? Are we putting our hearts on the altar? Are we putting our family, our friends, and our loved ones up there? Are we presenting ourselves and our needs, our weakness to Jesus Christ, so that he can take them and transform them by his Holy Spirit, the same as he transforms the bread and the wine by the Spirit into his body and blood? Are we praying in this manner? When we receive him in communion, do we allow that to be a time of actual communion? When we return to our pews, whether kneeling or sitting, do we allow our hearts to commune with God, to be connected to him intentionally, to stay with him? When we are sent forth from the church, when we go, do we carry with us the good news of the gospel? Do we carry with us that which we have heard and experienced to be able to share it with others, that they too might experience it and know the goodness of the Lord God? These things and so much more are what we're called to have in this active participation in the life of the liturgy. And it applies to the other sacraments as well. In each of them, not simply to watch something being done, but to be actively participating in it. This is why I love the traditional phrase of the regards of going to Mass, is not simply watching Mass or seeing Mass, but assisting at Mass. Oftentimes the faithful are said, if you read the lives of the saints, who often indicate that they assisted at Holy Mass. And this is what's actually taking place. That again, it's not as if one has to be a priest or a deacon or a server in the sanctuary to be able to have some part in the action of the liturgy. Rather, it is all of us who continue to offer together the gift to the Father that is Christ's Son. For us to be mindful of these things, mindful of our words, mindful of our gestures, and certainly to do them, to sing when we ought to sing, to speak when we ought to speak, to act when we ought to act. But above all, to ensure that there is a great harmony within our hearts and our minds, understanding these things. Because one can come here and simply kneel the entire Mass and be receiving intense graces and actively participating to a very high degree, interiorly at least. And another person may come and be busy about so many things and that not really participate much at all, because they're busy about so many things, but not concerned about the one thing, as our Lord told Martha, the one thing being to offer oneself to Christ. And so it is for us to ensure that we come here to the liturgy and do participate actually and actively, to allow our hearts to be conformed to Christ and to imitate Christ just as he was in Golgotha, just as he was on Calvary, that place where he climbed upon the cross. He spoke and he acted, but most importantly, he prayed. Today our Lord says to us, "You know not how to pray as you ought, yet the Spirit himself prays within you through inexpressible groans too deep for words. Surrender to this prayer of the Spirit. Learn to be still and know that I am God. I will teach you the prayer of the heart. Remember me at my crucifixion. Meditate on my prayer to the Father. As my throat was dried up like baked clay and my tongue cleaved to my jaws, my words were scarce, yet I prayed ceaselessly for you during those 3 hours. I saw at that very moment each one of your burdens, joys, sins, and virtues. I saw you convicted in sin, and I was moved to surrender all to gain the vision of your life glorified and redeemed with me in paradise. Imagine the inexpressible groans arising from the center of my heart while my body was being spent for love of you. This is the prayer of the heart, this is the prayer of the church, and this is the mystery of the Mass. Lay your heart upon the altar with mine, and the two shall be lifted on high by my priest. Your heart's capacity for love and sorrow can be raised up at each Mass through me, with me, and in me, in the unity of the Holy Spirit to the glory of God the Father. Bring to my Eucharistic heart this day your entire soul and your deepest longings. Let me instruct you in the perfection of prayer, which is the Mass. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.